He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening, America, Canada, and the world. Yeah, I had to say Canada. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Yeah, it's Canada night tonight.
Uh-huh. That's right.
I mean, we got lots of Canadians with us here, eh? You know, and so we got to get some Molsons or some... They still make Calgary X there? Doug DeNance, do they still make Calgary X? Having been a hockey player, I was exposed to lots of Canadians.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And a lot of beer. But we've got a great guest tonight who's from Canada.
Canada.
Graham Judd is going to be joining us from Calgary, Alberta there, eh? Out in the great Canadian prairie right before the mountains there. Mm-hmm. And beautiful city. And he's a big-time promo guy in Canada and the United States, and he's not in Hollywood.
Yeah, so, isn't that amazing? We found somebody.
We looked under rocks. We tried to find somebody, and then Graham was just there. He's big time. So
that's right.
We'll be talking to him in about 20 minutes.
We met him at the Poker Classic, actually.
Ah, he was there. I missed that.
I met him there in person, got to shake hands and meet his wife. And I promise, when I'm feeling better and I have some downtime, I'm going to cut together all that footage from the Poker Classic one of these days. So sorry to make you guys wait. But there's a little clip in there from Judd, too.
Right. Well, I'll try to carry the load tonight, so you don't have to talk too much. Because you sound like you need a respirator.
I'm keeping my left hand on my mic fader to cut it out at any time when I start coughing. So yuck. So sorry, guys. This is why we do the show over the internet, not in your living room. So I don't germs into your family's homes.
Speaking of technology, and then I'll let you get into your thing here. Any of you have Progressive insurance and tried the? whatever that thing is they give you this little device that you plug into your car's snapshot. It's called Progressive Snapshot. Well, it doesn't just broadcast how you drive back to them. Anytime you stop too fast, take a corner too fast, slow down at a stop sign, and then continue through it, it goes beep, beep, beep.
Uh-huh. I've heard about this. So do you have one in your vehicle?
I have one. We have one in all our cars. And I have started to swear at this thing. I didn't go through this. Shut up. What is this? Anyway, so we keep getting these notices from Progressive that, no, we have not gotten any savings yet. But if you've ever driven with me, you'll know why. Anyway.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, well, that's hooked up by a computer, by all sorts of stuff. But you're going to talk about how you connect some of your interfaces to the computer. So you're going to talk about FireWire versus USB.
Yeah, another exciting topic. I know.
Hey, no, it's important.
Well, I don't know. It just seems that lately, my clients that are having the most technical issues, especially in the world of Mac, seem to be using FireWire audio devices. And it's really frustrating because some of my favorite audio interfaces out there are and happen to be FireWire based. I was a really big fan of the Echo Audio Fire 2, which I was into, and I know Mike Sommer, before he passed away, he was a big fan of that device. I'm also a really big fan of the Mackie Onyx FireWire boards because I love that it's one small console that has all the ins and outs that you would possibly need to plug into your, you know, your ISDN codec and into another computer for Skype and whatever crazy stuff you do in your studio. So I love it. But here I go.
I'll just breathe some life in
you. Yeah, thank you. Man, I'll tell you, I've had numerous, especially in the last year, I've had numerous clients sending me clips, you know, of their audio and there's little glitches and staticky pops and clicks and stuff in the audio. And it's really, really frustrating, as you can imagine. So, you know, because nobody at Apple wants to admit anything's wrong with the FireWire stuff, and nobody at the manufacturers that make this equipment seem to be able to really put their finger on what's going on, then I've been leaning on USB lately. So I've kind of shifted my weight towards USB now, and in most cases I've been recommending USB interfaces instead of FireWire. So, you know, it's kind of hard, for whatever reason, it's hard to find a basic USB audio interface that has, that does one job really well. Just takes analog line level in and line level back out. Just analog to digital, both directions. Nothing fancy. No other bells and whistles, because a lot of us are using some kind of a board or a preamp, and we don't want extra preamps in the chain, right? But it's bizarre. The only one I've found that's USB only, and it's a dedicated line level in and out, is made by this company called Henry, or Henry Engineering, I think they're called. They're a radio broadcasting company, interestingly enough. And their boxes, they're all blue, like a two-tone blue color. I mean, they look like they had the design has not been updated in 25 years. You know,
sort of like Orban?
Yeah, yeah, except Orban has kind of stayed in lock with the times, and they keep updating their equipment to make it look modern. This stuff, they've been using the same sheet metal and the same beige and baby blue colors for years and years. So they don't waste money on the looks, and because it's for radio broadcast, nobody really cares what it looks like. They're not marketing to consumers, right? But they make boxes called the XLR, I believe it's called the Matchbox 2. And all this thing does is take XLR in and XLR out at line level and turn it into digital. That's all this box does. It actually has a headphone jack also, but that's pretty much it. The crazy thing is this box, for doing that one job, is about $500, okay? So, you know, I've been looking. There's got to be something else out there. Well, I found the most unsuspecting device. And, you know, it's easy to look over or overlook it or miss it because, well, first of all, it's really cheap. And, you know, second of all, it's got a mic input. So you're thinking, well, it can't be that great for this. But I will say that numerous clients now are using in their studios a little box called the Lexicon Alpha. And this little box is like $60. And it's got line in, line out. But it also has a microphone jack. But what's interesting is that it seems to take line level signals really, really well. Make no noise. It doesn't require any drivers, especially on the Mac. It's completely plug and play. Doesn't seem to care about Mac OS updates and upgrades. And it seems to just keep humming right along, no matter what we throw at the operating system and with software updates and stuff. I have been really, really happy with this device. Now, it doesn't have FireWire. Okay, I'm sorry, FireWire is not the word. It doesn't have phantom power. So it's just got, that's one thing that keeps the price on this unit down. But if you just need something to bring analog audio in and out, this thing seems to do it very effectively. And even the 1/4-inch input jacks on this thing are balanced. So they're a balanced signal, which means really, really low noise. So if you're looking for something like this, that is definitely my first vote, is this Lexicon Alpha. If you're looking for more features, you want something that's really more of a standalone interface, you've heard Dan and I talk about it many times, but we were both fans of the Scarlett 2i2. Dan's using one in his studio now. I mean, that's your preamp, right, Dan?
That's what I use for a preamp, yeah. I mean, not for our broadcast, but for what I use in my studio, absolutely. It's mic into 2i2 into the computer.
Yeah, and, you know, in the chat room, Anthony just chimed in, does it work with Source Connect? Because he's one of the people that's using the Scarlett 2i2 and happened to find out that there's some bizarre driver incompatibility issue on Mac with Source Connect, but for some people, not for everybody. It's really strange. So does it work with Source Connect? Yes, it absolutely does, because the clients of mine that do have this unit do use Source Connect in their home studios on a regular basis, as well as ISDN and stuff. So it's definitely compatible. And USB has this, I think, this preconceived notion that it's less professional or less reliable than FireWire, you know, that it doesn't carry as much data bandwidth and stuff. And that's not really true, because USB 2.0, which has now been surpassed by 3.0, is actually technically faster than FireWire 400, which is the standard that pretty much all the audio devices use. Only the really high-end, really expensive audio interfaces that I've seen, such as Universal Audio makes this really nifty one called the Apollo. That thing does FireWire 800, and it also does Thunderbolt. And I think we're a long way away from all of us needing to upgrade to any audio device that uses a Thunderbolt connection. Because it's just an unbelievably huge amount of data rate that is being spit through your machine. And for recording a mono 16-bit or even 24-bit 44.1 track, the data rate required to be carried over that USB cable is extremely low. JS also brings up, but it, USB is shared bus. It's a shared bus. Well, yeah, you're so. Right. It is. It is. FireWire is technically on its own bus, and USB is a shared bus, which means that internally inside the computer, there's a USB hub, and that is sharing, doling out the duties of all the other USB devices on your system. That is absolutely true. I will say that in my particular user case, I have four USB devices plugged into my Mac Mini. Then I have a USB hub plugged into that with seven devices plugged into it. So I've got no less than like 10 different USB devices. And my system seems to have absolutely no issues at all dealing with the audio ins and outs of these systems. I will say, though, that one thing that has caught us as a little off guard, because it may not be obvious at first, is if you have a USB powered device, in other words, if it's a USB interface that has no power cord, don't let your computer go to sleep. If your machine sleeps, the power to that audio device, it doesn't necessarily always go away completely. Some computers, they just drop the USB output power on the bus way, way low while it's in sleep mode to save power, I guess. And so that device all of a sudden gets this trickle of power, and then when the machine wakes up again, it oftentimes will freak out. But not freak out in a way that's obvious until you actually try to record something. So definitely shut your machine all the way off, or if you forget to do that, you can always unplug and plug the USB cord back into your USB audio device, and that will, in essence, restart it or reboot it. So out there, you know, you'll see a lot more really feature-rich, super high-end-looking interfaces that are actually going USB, and I think there's a good reason for that, and you'll certainly see some stuff that goes USB 3 in the future, but... for now, especially for you Mac users, I'd love to get a little feedback from you Windows users who are using FireWire to know how stable it's been for you. But I would say if you're on Mac, and especially if you have a new Mac, stay with USB. That has been my personal experience.
Yeah, until I get the Thunderbolt thing all straightened away, and then...
Well, the Thunderbolt is unbelievable. I mean, the amount of data it can carry. Not only can it carry all the audio and video, but it'll drive up to, like, I think, four 1080p LCD monitors at the same time. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of data that it can handle. So once the price comes down, you know, Thunderbolt will be the next USB, basically. And, you know, that's what's going to happen. So.
All right. It'll be by laser beam or something like that.
Right, right.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting discussion, and it certainly is a major part of what goes on in a home studio. So it's something you got to think about. You
yeah.
know, if you like having the FireWire and it works for you, use it. But
yes,
yeah. your opportunities are going to be a little more limited in the future, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mention PCI because there's far fewer of you out there using a PC. Tower computer that can accommodate a PCI card. But I will say that if you are on a Windows machine running, you know, then you have a PCI card available to you, it's probably the most reliable of any of the options that I've seen because it's so integrated into the system and it's an internal card. I used to run a Mio, I think it was called an Echo Mia card inside a PC for years, and it was just rock solid. So anyway, that's enough on that topic.
All right. We didn't kill it, but there's still more. But anyway, all right, we got lots more coming up. We've got my tip of the week, and we've got our special guest, Graham Judd, joining us from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. He's going to talk to us about promo and about his home studio a little bit. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop.
Hey, honey, let's go grab a bite to eat.
I can't. I'm busy.
Are you hiding something?
No, I'm not.
What is so important on Sunday evenings that you can't spend it with me?
Nothing.
Are you having an affair?
Yeah, okay. I was attracted to their smarts. I'm in love with their brains. They talk to me and are interested in what I have to say and what I do all day.
East West Audio Body Shop, no longer the best kept secret.
I didn't know you were into bald guys with mustaches.
Well, we're back. Gotta give a shout out to my son, Lewis, who's in college. We're very proud of him out there in Oswego State.
Yay, Lewis.
Go college.
Kid is busy, busy, busy. He's already treasurer of his dorm and all that other stuff. Kid gets involved.
That's good, man. I'm glad to hear him. That's a kid that's ready to go to college.
He was ready to go to college in December, and it was pretty much his brain was already there. But now he's actually there, and he's having a great time.
Good, good.
And speaking of having a great time, that's why you're here, isn't it? East West Audio Body Shop. There's a question that always comes up, or at least not a question, a statement people make. And of course, we're an industry of terminology and phraseology. Phraseology. Is that actually a word?
Google it.
No, it's from The Music Man.
Oh, okay.
What's your phraseology there, young man? Anyway, it's one of the phrases we get a lot is talking about broadcast quality. The heck is that? Well, we've got a little piece, and we'll talk a little bit about it right after it. So watch this tip of the week, or tip of the week, or teep of the week.
Okay, let's clean up a term overused by many in the home voiceover studio world. Broadcast quality. Now, broadcast quality is a bit of a vague term. I think we should remove the word broadcast from the equation and simply call it professional quality audio, because that's what it is. First off, the majority of the stuff we record these days isn't for on-air broadcast use. E-learning, audiobooks, and corporate and small business websites are the drivers of our industry. Now, that doesn't mean that the quality of our audio should be less for these genres. So, what in my estimation is professional quality audio? Let's simply begin with what it is not. If you listen to, like, say, a web audio of some guy on a headset mic explaining their software product, you'll hear
echo, room environment, other people in the background,
and hiss or buzzing from an underleveled mic. That's not quality audio. So, to have professional quality audio, there should be no discernible background noise, proper room acoustics, no slapback or echo, voice presence without overmodulation. Now, those factors are fairly easy to control. Also, each studio is a unique environment and will have its own distinct sound depending on what mic you use, how you use it, and of course, how you, the unique voice talent that you are, use that voice. Then there's the noise floor. Now, again, a noise floor is simply a measurement of that noise as opposed to your voice in the foreground. If you were to just record your studio using your mic without your voice, there would be ambient noise. The sound of your computer fan, the refrigerator, the garbage truck, the guy next door mowing his lawn, and, again, any electronically introduced noise like hissing, humming, and buzzing. So the only way if you know your audio is up to snuff is for someone else who knows what quality audio is, give it a listen. I guess there's another way, though. You're either booking work, or auditions are responded to with, and that's my tip of the week.
We're back.
All right. Pat, you know how many rolls of this stuff I have? Bought out an entire supply at AJ Moore. Are you kidding? Once I found I had that. Anyway, broadcast quality. Guys, stop telling us. Does this broadcast quality? Why, are you on the radio? I mean, come on. I mean, we're doing single track, mono, dry voice tracks, most of us. Don't worry about broadcast quality. Worry about just getting a nice, clean signal. Because you want to know something? That's better than broadcast quality. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, broadcast quality can mean anything. And sometimes broadcast quality is what gets by with, you know, for broadcasts, especially, you know, FM or even AM radio. You know, you would not get away with recording for a voiceover client like a corporate narration or right. a commercial or something. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I spent a career in broadcasting, and I'm telling you, the quality of the audio, for, you know, when you're working with digital, if you have the right environment and you're using the right stuff, which is as little stuff as possible,
yep.
it's going to be better than broadcast quality. As a matter of fact, they're going to shove it into their if you're, like, say, doing local commercials or something like that, and you toss it to a station and they just, you know, they throw it into their rotation, they're going to squish it and crush it and pull it apart and make it louder and shove it up to a transmitter.
Jeez, yeah.
And it comes out much louder than it usually, you know, than it used to, you know, than it originally was. And yeah. So, you know, take the phrase broadcast quality, open a drawer in your desk and throw it in there and make it stay there because it's not worth it anymore. It's relevant. It means nothing. Forget about it. Talk about professional quality audio.
I'm amazed how many times a client will be, you know, traveling or they just don't even have a home studio. And so they go into the radio station, you know, to cut an audition or something. And they send me the audio and I'm like, holy cow, this is what they get away with for the radio? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, oh, hey, you know, you ever been in a production studio in a radio station?
I mean, I've been in some pretty fancy ones.
Me too.
You know, so I've seen some nice ones, but I also went to Virginia Tech, and I was in the radio station production room there, and it was hilarious. It looked like a yard sale in there.
Yeah. Now, in the old days, we didn't use acoustical tile. We used that was like that ceiling tile stuff. I think it was actually made of asbestos or something like that.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, it had little holes in it, and that would line it. Well, what did that do? It just looked nice.
Yeah,
because it still sounded like a bathroom in there.
And you could just about get away with it because you had an SM7 or an RE20 and you're talking into it like this the whole time.
Yeah, really. Okay.
So you could get away with it.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, you're on the air. Go for it. Yeah. Why do I always go with that one? I keep thinking Larry King. But anyway. Yes. No. Does George have some allergies? George has some. He's having some respiratory issues.
Yeah, it is like possibly bronchitis mixed in with a sinus infection. Oh, yeah, it's like, you know, building up 3 or 4 years of being healthy and throwing it all out the window for a couple of weeks. So I'm going in tomorrow to the doctors. We'll figure out what the heck's going on. I'm kind of a self-treating kind of person. I'm slow to go into the doctor, and as I get older, I'm sure that will start changing quickly.
Yes. So, well, take a deep breath because you have to tell everybody about Edge.
Right now?
Right now.
Right now.
It's
okay.
9:29.
It's 9:29. It's Edge time.
That's what it says.
Right, Edge time.
It's Edge time. We have a jingle or anything?
Well, you know, we're working on that stuff. Right now, I'm the Edge commercial. So, VO Studio Tech, my company, and Edge Studio have come together. And reason for that being was I was looking for a company to support cover my back end and, you know, be the back end to my company. And I was having a hard time being an entrepreneur. I needed to expand. And Edge had a really just buttoned down and professionally run business. And they do. And so they just seemed, there were very few options out there that seemed like they were really the ones that could handle bringing on a whole nother company. And even though I'm just one guy, I have a pretty big client list and all this stuff and you know, all these systems I put in place. But anyway, it's coming together now. We're building a whole brand new website. So in the next couple months, there's going to be a whole new look. And when it's all said and done, VO Studio Tech and Edge will all be melded together into one company, and VO Studio Tech, the name, will eventually probably go away. I'm still providing the same services I always did as VO Studio Tech, still providing tech support, training, custom tutorials, and all the services that some of you have gotten to come to know. I'm still doing it over Edge Studios. I just now have a bigger company behind me to kind of back me up, and I've got reception, and there's a live person answering a phone from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. That's pretty cool. So it's great stuff, and they're great people over there. I'm really excited what's going to come. And before I let you go, if you haven't checked out Whittam's World yet, go over to YouTube, type in Whittam's World, Whittam's World, and you'll find my little vlog that I've started doing over there. And I answer a question every week. People email them into Whittam's World at edstudio.com, and I just pull one out of the bag and answer a question each week. So it's sort of like my flavor of Dan's Tip of the Week, and I'm doing it over for Edge. So check it out. It's a lot of fun and educational. And anyway, that's Edge Studio. Check them out over the web at edgestudio.com. So let's get out of here so we can get our guest of the hour on.
Yeah. So let's throw the VOV in there, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back, everybody.
Hi, I'm Dave Crevassier. You know, these days, to get anything accomplished in your voiceover business, you've got to spend some time online. We audition online. We share with others in online communities. Maybe you've even done some online training along the way. So here's the next big thing. It's called VoiceOver Virtual. It's this giant two-day online voiceover conference that's coming to you this September. And because it's online, you can attend and participate from anywhere on your computer. Wait a minute, I know what you're saying. An online voiceover conference? How does that work? Well, it works pretty well, actually. There'll be training with dozens of the industry's top professionals. You'll find an innovative and interactive exhibit hall with some exclusive bargains. You can have private online meetings with agents and casting professionals and trainers, even get your demo evaluated. There will be plenty of chances to network with your colleagues, even make some new friends social media style. Pretty cool, right? Well, as your virtual MC, I'll be telling you more in the weeks to come about this amazing event produced by your friends at VoiceOver Extra with the help of some of the industry's top pros. Right now, why not just take a moment to check out this website and learn.
If you have studio problems, bring them here to eWabs. Let's get back to more problems with Dan Leonard and George Whittam.
Why does that one make me laugh so much?
I don't know. It's because we always have problems. It's a problem. Anyway, joining us, let's welcome from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Graham Judd. Graham, how you doing tonight?
What's up, guys? I'm doing very well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you with us.
And thanks now, for you're up there ducking away from your wife's birthday as well. We really appreciate that.
Yeah. Luckily, her parents came over. The in-laws are over, so she's got lots to discuss with them.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, that might be good to just sort of sneak out.
Like the fact that her husband's in the booth right now.
Exactly.
We told them, tell them, it's CBS. It's, you know. Yeah. Anyway, you do an awful lot of promo work for an awful lot of people. I mean, we're looking at CBS, TBS, True TV, MTV, used to be with Nick. George, you got some of that stuff racked up so we can hear a little bit of what Graham does?
I do. Let's play a little bit of one of these promos. This is Graham's comedy reel.
CBS Monday. Stuff coming through, and I have cupcakes.
It's a new two broke girls with a brand new attitude.
Can I get another refill?
Can I get an explanation of why you're wearing overalls and there are no goats around?
Okay, same attitude.
We can stop looking. We found the world's most annoying hipster.
A new two broke girls, CBS Monday.
I really did not like breastfeeding. The tear ducts got clogged.
Tear ducts.
Tuesdays.
What if pop your implants?
What implants?
My breasts are real.
Real fake.
Pretty Wicked Moms, all new, next Tuesday at 10 on Lifetime. Next Sunday, we've saved the most outrageous Kardashians episode yet for the big mid-season finale.
There's not miss sex tape.
Because once you watch it, you'll need a few weeks to recover.
Now I'm ready to recreate this amazing sex tape.
Don't miss The Kardashians next Sunday at 9, November 16th on TBS.
Gentlemen, remove your pillowcases.
This is the greatest night of my life.
For these four freshmen,
do you want?
The Rush is on. Glory Days, series premiere November 16th at 10, only on TBS. Very funny.
All right.
That's very funny. What's amazing about listening to this stuff, and you've got a great voice that works great with that. There's a lot of people working on these promos. I mean, to really make them what they do, you've got to look at all that video and pull it all together. And
absolutely.
Those are all TV promos, yet if those were on the radio, they would be fine.
They, you know what, the people that that work on the creative side of the business. I mean, as voiceover talent, we're very lucky to work with some of the best writers, best producers, best video editors, especially some of the top networks. I mean, I'm just always blown away by the stuff that people come up with. Of course, I have very little to do with anything other than bringing my read and slapping it on top. And even then, I'm not mixing it. I'm not, I have very little control over the end result beyond just speaking into the microphone, sending it down the line over ISDN, and the brilliant people on the other end work their magic. So it's a lot of fun to get to work with some really, really creative, really brilliant, talented people. And, this probably goes for anything in voiceover, but, I learned very quickly that the voiceover was a very small piece of the puzzle. While for us, as talent, it's all we do, it's all we want to do. And, we can get really myopic about, the casting process and everything. For me, the second I realized like, wow, it's such a bigger animal than I ever knew. And, I'm just lucky to play a small role.
Yeah. How did you get into doing promo and how'd you get yourself into doing with all these different networks? So why don't you give us a little bit of background on how you got into
I'll try and give you
this nutty biz. Yeah, the Reader's Digest version.
I'll give you the mini version. Some people might hear things, that sounds like me. Back as far as being a child, I was in the Calgary Boys Choir, which ultimately gave me professional vocal training from a music standpoint. I was in theater. I was, always into performance. And, in high school, I was always the lead in the school play, that kind of thing. Was going to take theater in college, university. Actually got kind of sidetracked from the professional side and joined a boy band. after high school. So, we were trying to be like the Canadian NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, that kind of thing, which was popular back whenever that was, 2000. From there, I spent so much time in recording studios on the music side that I really just loved being in the environment. I loved being around the gear, worked in some beautiful studios. One of my favorites being Capitol Records in Los Angeles. We got to record in Studio A with David Foster. As the producer, and it was just, at 19 years old, I'm, freaking out from a musical perspective. It was really incredible. From there, obviously, I didn't become a pop star. I wasn't the next Justin Timberlake. So,
consider yourself fortunate.
I suppose. Well, I think he's doing pretty well for himself. But that being said, I had to find, a new calling. Music for a long time was what I thought I was going to do. And at 19, 20 years old, my mom, my parents are both, post-secondary educated. And my mom, works at the college here locally. And so in our household, there was just no option to not pursue some post-secondary education. So thinking is, okay, we go back into theater. What am I going to do for a real job? My mom said, well, are you really going to try and make it as a theater actor here in Calgary, which, is smaller than Vancouver and Toronto, which those are smaller than New York and LA. Obviously it's pretty low down on the pecking order. And so she said, well, what about broadcasting? It's kind of like a real job mixed with a little bit of performance. And at that point, the thought would be that, I'd be on the radio or a news anchor or something. I didn't really know where I fit, but, I thought, well, that's not terrible. So I enrolled, got into the broadcasting program, and, I was lucky enough. There's a gentleman here locally by the name of Paul Boucher, who may some of you may know, have had the pleasure of interacting with. Pretty much here in Calgary, where I am, he's, you know, for a long time was one of the only people you could turn to for professional voiceover advice. He came as a special guest into my broadcasting program, and from that was kind of the light bulb moment when I when he said, "Bob, you know, I used to be radio DJ, now do voiceover full time." I thought, well, I don't know how, but that's the answer. So that was, you know, 8-9 years ago, and from that point, it's been how do I make a living at this? And I've been very lucky the last three years now. I've been full time, you know, in there, I also, you know, I mentioned loving being in recording studios, so I actually fostered a relationship that ended up with me in the recording or in the engineer's chair at a local production facility. So what that meant was I could have access to a professional studio to call my own to pursue my voiceover stuff.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your studio.
Well, this was the studio that I was an engineer at. So I was sitting in the engineer's chair at a studio here locally called GGRP. It's now the Forge Audio Company. And my boss at the time was incredibly supportive of, you know, my pursuits as a voiceover talent. And the thought was, well, you know, in between sessions here at the studio, yeah, we can squeeze in some voiceover stuff. And I was just lucky enough that I've been blessed and able to book enough work and enough regular work that it just became apparent that it was time to for him to find someone that was a little bit more dedicated to the chair, and for me to just come to the home full time and do the promo stuff that I'm doing. So
yeah, well, that was a great thing that happened to you there. You had the opportunity and the equipment to do it. So
absolutely. Well, and then I didn't have to put in the ISDN lines and all that stuff right away. I had access to it at work, and so it was a marriage of you know, of opportunity meets luck and all those things, and preparedness and all those things. So
confluence,
I was very blessed.
Yeah, confluence of events.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, not, I mean, and then like I said, I mean, the performance side of things, having experience with it in the past and theater, yep, and all that stuff, all of that kind of
adds up to
where I'm at today. So
yeah. So what's your average day like? I mean, are you get up in the morning and like, what are they going to send me today? Or you sit around and then suddenly, oh, here's this, there's this. How much stuff do you do in a day?
There's a mix of lots of stuff. I'm very lucky to be definitely working every day, multiple times a day. I have a couple of clients that are kind of regular daily set in stone bookings, so I know that I've got those at least to look forward to. And then there's always last minute stuff for whatever reason in the promo world, and trying to dabble like all of us would love to in the movie trailer DVD release world. You know, all that stuff just seems to kind of pop out of nowhere, like no one saw it coming. Which, you know, that's why we sit here waiting for the work. It's I don't know who came up with it, but I like the term golden handcuffs, because it's it's lucrative stuff. It's I'm very happy to have the work, and I love doing what I do, but there is the flip side where, you know, I'm kind of tied to the booth all day every day, well, aside from the weekends most of the time. So
right, well, yeah, exactly, because you're working the business week. So tell us a little bit about your home studio. What do you have in there, and how is it set up, and do you keep it simple, or what is it that these high-end clients really require from you?
Well, require and then what I require of myself versus what they require of me. You know, I don't want any of the following to sound like it's an endorsement for going to do what I've done. I mentioned that I'm an audio engineer, you know, spent some time as an audio engineer. I'm also a gear junkie, and so I've got more than I need. There's no doubt. I can easily find a way to tell myself, well, I need a Sennheiser and an Avalon 737 for promo and trailer, but then I need a Neumann U87 and the Millennia STT1 for narration and commercial. And then just as a, you know, an alternate flavor, I've got my eye on the Manly reference cardioid and the Vox box combo, just to say I had, you know, and it's it's more to say that I have it and to have the toys and to, you know, be able to play around with them. Quite honestly, I'll probably use my Sennheiser and my Avalon, you know, 99% of the time.
Yeah. George, he's talking mic porn.
Well, it's true. I've got numerous clients like Graham that do or could or do have, you know, a lot more gear than they need. And at the bottom, you know, at the end of the day, many of them end up being on one mic and one preamp, you know, almost all the time.
It would be irresponsible of me to tell anyone and give advice that said you needed to spend what I've spent on studio equipment. I'm behind. I don't know if you can see behind me. I've got a Canadian version of a whisper booth. It's Sewell Acoustics, Seulx Acoustics. And the main reason I picked them is they're already in Canada, so I saved myself a bit of import cost.
Oh yeah.
But you know, it's nice MDF construction with powder coated black. Looks pretty slick and nice window and stuff. So that I'm just in a 4x4 vocal booth with. You know, the walls basically smothered with the Oralex foam.
Right.
And at some point, I'm actually in the middle of building a house. And, of course, with that comes my own studio space, custom fit kind of thing. And, I'm actually feeling pretty pumped. And again, don't recommend everyone do this, but I've reached out to WSDG, Walter Storck Design Group. So they, if you read Mix Magazine, you definitely see their work. The most famous and probably the first studio was Jimi Hendrix Electric Lady Studios in New York, Beyonce's home studio, Jay-Z's home studio, all these world-class studios. So I reached out to them thinking, well, this is basically a basement bedroom recording studio. This is going to be a little lower than their usual fare. And I was blown away. John Storck, the principal owner of the company, the main guy, emailed me within 24 hours. Yeah, we've got, we definitely work on smaller home studio projects. In fact, more often than you'd think. And so they've been helping me come up with the isolation specs and all the construction drawings and all that stuff. So I'm as a techie, I'm pretty pumped about that.
Oh yeah, you must be like a kid in a candy store. Are you kidding me? That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I've actually met him. Yeah.
Now, we got a couple of questions from our wonderful audience, which is all over the place. We have a lot of Canadians tonight here with you.
Uh-huh. Hey, there you go. Hey, folks.
And we know Doug Denance is there, and we know you know Doug. Anyway, let's see here. Do you ever come
I'll
to
call
the U.S.?
You back, Doug.
Yes, Tremaine Kendrick Mosley, who finally got himself in tonight. Does he ever come to the U.S. to record?
Ultimately, not really. I mean, it happens every day. I'm here. Occasionally I'm on vacation, a couple weeks ago I was in Los Angeles for the poker tournament, the SAG Foundation poker tournament, which meant I was showing up on a Friday and coming home early Monday morning. Ultimately, if I had to, I could scramble to do something from the hotel room or whatever. But no, I don't really. I'd have no need to record from the U.S.
Yeah, there's no customs booth on ISDN, so that's always a fun.
Well, yeah, I mean here it's and the reality is that there is no, there's no legislation. There's no reason that Canadian companies can't work with American companies, especially as long as I'm on Canadian soil and whatnot. So.
That's true.
I'm SAG-AFTRA. I'm a member of the Los Angeles local. So yeah.
Oh, excellent. J.S. Gilbert, the great one, asks about your personal manager. What kind of opportunities or benefits do you get from having a manager, and how are you represented in the U.S.?
Well, I would say that's no doubt my secret weapon. I guess. While from a technological standpoint, I can definitely handle the work remotely, as can most of your viewership with anyone with Source Connect and a microphone, etc., could connect the way I connect. That being said, there is some drawbacks from not being in the main markets, being that you're not represented there, you're not physically there to toot your own horn and get the attention. So for me, I have one of the best teams in the business. I have so many layers of representation. It feels silly sometimes, but honestly, I love my team, and you know, they're out there, you know, finding me the opportunities. It's my job to do a read that books the job, but you know, they're hooking me up with the pipeline to get the work. So my manager, Jonna Gottlieb, is kind of she oversees everything. I talk to her like 5, 6, 7 times a day, it feels like, you know, and she's available to me. She makes herself available to me. She's incredibly busy and incredibly gifted, and she's very in tune with the industry. She's a former voiceover agent herself from the New York market. And, so she's, you know, she's someone that I can call, and I don't have to feel like, oh, I'm calling my agent and they have 100 other people they're representing and they don't necessarily have time to get on the phone with me or call me back right away or whatever. So it's been great to have someone, especially being remote and disconnected the way I am geographically. It's really nice to have someone that I can bounce ideas off of, and absolutely everything I've built with my business has been, you know, in partnership with Jonna, with my agents in Los Angeles. I'm with SBV Talent, Jessica, Mary Ellen, Rita, the whole gang there. They're terrific. I'm with Jason Marks, talent management for promo and trailer. And, you know, I find that especially for the trailer world, there really is no way to kind of get even sort of seen by the people that do the choosing and the hiring without being with, you know, a Jason Marks, a Debbie Cope, or a Paul Whitner.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you've got lots of representation, and that's, like you said, it's part of your team, and that's really what makes it happen for you.
Absolutely.
Your management is like the one that you have probably the most intimate connection, though, with, right?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, and, you know, there's some debate as to what the term manager means. In some cases, it's just a different way to refer to an agent, or they're not necessarily a franchised agent, so they can't call themselves agents. They have to call themselves managers. You know, the reality is, though, for me, Jonna, my manager, is a true career manager. She oversees, and, you know, I make all my decisions and all any move I make, you know, it's all, you know, co-piloted.
Co-pilot, she's your wing lady. Your co-pilot.
Yeah, absolutely. And in most cases, she's the one with the experience. You know, I'm just the guy that's wanted to do this for a long time. And I'm very lucky that right now there's a trend going towards younger voices, you know, the cool guy, whatever. So there's some of that. I'm a little bit right place, right time.
Absolutely.
That being said, I'm also sewn tight when it comes to the technical side. You know, I have been studying the craft for long enough that I'm not coming at it as my first audition or whatever. So there's a lot of things that are kind of coming together. It's making, you know, right now things are really great, you know, I feel very blessed.
Yeah. Well, we certainly hear you everywhere, especially if you watch a lot of cable TV and stuff like that. I'm like, now I know who that voice is.
Now it seems that once that, you know, that veil comes off, that's all you hear. Well, my friends, they can't stand that I'm on TV all over the place, because they inevitably forget to mute the TV or something when they're having an intimate moment, and then all of a sudden I come on and surprise them. That's my favorite story. And sadly, it hasn't happened only once. So, you know.
Well, that's what people are doing. We're watching in bed. It's late at night. And they're like, oh, let's put on TBS. Oh, not him again. I can certainly see that. Well, Graham, it's fabulous that you could join us tonight. And I think it's great that you're able to have such a presence in our industry and do it from someplace other than Southern California. Not that there's anything wrong with Southern California. Beautiful place.
I love
sitting there. It's nice and warm most of the year and all that kind of stuff, and wonderful people. But you can do it from home out in the prairie there. I think that's just great.
It's a interesting business. I certainly don't want it to come across like it's a piece of cake and everyone should be doing it. It's been a tough road, and continues to be. There's no shortage of people, on the casting side that will occasionally throw back a little, wait a minute, he's not here? I don't know. So it hasn't been a complete cakewalk. But sure. That being said, the last, 10 years probably, with the advances of technology, with individuals like Joe Cipriano and obviously Don LaFontaine and some of my favorites, Reno Romano and Mike McCall and some of the top, promo trailer guys, Scott Rummel, all those guys that I look up to, those were the guys that insisted that it happened from their home studio, which meant that all that's different dialing me, for example, for CBS, if I'm doing a CBS session, I might be back to back with a Joe Cipriano CBS session. And the only thing that's different about dialing me is the area code.
Yep.
Absolutely. From a delivery standpoint, it doesn't take them any more or any less time to call me than it does to call him. And he's not coming to CBS. He's doing it from his cushy home studio. So,
yeah. And he has a nice one, and we've seen it.
Oh, well, yeah. Grant,
yeah. Thanks for being with us tonight, and we know you got company, so we don't want to keep you too long and keep you from birthday cake and stuff.
I thank you, and my wife thanks you. Cheers.
And my best to her. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Have a good night, man.
Cheers, guys. Have a good night. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Well, what else we got going on here tonight? Oh, we got to talk about Harlan.
Harlan.
H2. Harlan Hogan. Well, he likes us to mention his name, but really what we got to talk about is voiceoveressentials.com. What do they got going on this week? There must be something interesting they have for sale. They've got something new all the time, and they're also showing you the great stuff that they have. One of the things that they have, and I'm sure a lot of you have tried it, is perhaps the VO1A microphone. Price is going up on it. But it's a great voiceover microphone. It was designed specifically for voiceover. And Harlan searched to the ends of the earth until he got over to some manufacturers that said, yeah, we can do that. They modded a mic and mass-produced it for Harlan, the VO1A. I used it, and it's like, wow, this is like – is it a U87? Darn close.
It is pretty close. I mean, it is – it is not 10 times crappier, if I could come up with a better term. It is it's 10 times cheaper, but it certainly doesn't sound 10 times cheaper. That is for sure.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a good microphone at a very good price point, it's like $300 somewhere around there.
$279.
See, it's even cheaper than that. Go on over to VoiceOver Essentials and check it out, because it comes with a great case. It comes with Megami cable. It comes with a really nice shock mount that just open it up and just drop it right in, and it's great. And it's well made, and it's something that you should really take a look at if you're looking for a second mic, a backup mic, or if you have no mic at all, start with it.
Right.
So, of course, if you have no mic at all, voiceover is going to be very difficult for you.
Yeah, I mean, I have clients that are still using that mic to this day because they found that it just happens to be a mic that works well with their voice. And when you find a mic that works for you, sometimes there's no good reason to just keep shopping around unless you're just truly bored. It's every bit – oh, I'd love to say it. It's every bit broadcast quality. No, I'm just kidding. It's every bit professional quality, no doubt about it. Is absolutely
no such thing.
Professional quality microphone, no doubt in my mind. Hey, there's professional microphones that cost even less than that. I mean, the price of the microphone is not necessarily the definer of whether a microphone is professional or not. It's the product that you are able to produce with it that determines if it's if it's really professional quality or not.
Right. But if you want a really good one at a great price, you go over to VoiceOver Essentials and you buy a VO1A.
And you tell them.
Thank you, Harlan.
Thank you, Harlan. You've been there since way back to episode
109 episodes ago.
I know. You are great. We really love having you in our corner. Thanks again.
And he's a great guy.
He is.
Anyway, so what do we got left here? We've got, I think we have some announcements.
Yeah, and then you can put me out of my misery.
Yeah, well, and you seem to be in some. Do we have any questions from anybody this week? I don't think we really had any. Remember, if you we really would like to get some questions from people. I mean, if you've got a problem with your home studio or something that you've always wanted to know and need us to lie about, send us a question at ewabshop@gmail.com. And as a matter of fact, every one of you, and I know there's at least 30 of you watching out there right now, every one of you is, as a homework assignment for next week, you have to send us a question, which will keep us going for the next, you know, 30 weeks or so.
Yep. I did add a new feature to the website because I was listening to a podcast on marketing voiceover, and I found this feature. It's called SpeakPipe, I think is what it's called. So if you go to our website and you go and you check out our website. I'm going to bring it up on the screen here as elegantly as possible, which, you know, as I always say, it rarely works out that way. But if you scroll down on the left-hand side, you will see this little pop-up box that says send a question. So now we have yet another way to send in a question. All you got to do is click on the send question box, uploads a little Java applet type thingamajiggy. Click start recording, allow it to have access to your hardware, and start recording. And when you're done, you'll have an audio sample that will get uploaded directly to us and pop up in our email box. So, you know, I just thought it'd be fun to try something different. I'm always looking for fun ways to take your questions. So start using it. Send them in, and we'll feature some of the good questions that we get on the show.
On the show, but not on the air because this is not broadcast. Nor broadcast quality.
Right. Not on the air. Exactly.
Not on the air. We're like being shoved down a tube here.
Exactly.
Anyway, we'd like to thank our donors. Thank you guys for all your help. Eric Aragone, you're fabulous. We love you. Keep on helping us out, and we will keep giving you lots of great information. Of course, our sponsors, Harlan Hogan, VoiceOver Extra, and now Edge Studio.
Yeah, thanks, Gary.
They're on the cutting edge, right. Let's see. Do we have any happy birthdays here? I don't think we do.
I forgot to look this week. Sorry, guys.
Happy birthday to anybody whose birthday is this
That's
week.
Right.
Let's see. We haven't had time to edit any poker video, poker classic
nope.
video. You got to understand.
This VoiceOver Virtual.
It's been taking up. I've been very intimately involved in VoiceOver Virtual. Now, if you haven't signed up for that, and you want to see some really great presentations and a really unique experience of an online conference, still time. It starts Wednesday, so you still have time to register for that.
What time does it technically start?
I believe it starts at midnight a.m., 12 a.m. on tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So it's like we've got this big switch, and it's going, it's on!
Yeah.
You would not believe the work that goes into putting something like that together. I mean, it's hard work putting together a live conference, a virtual conference with a platform and all that. Very different animal indeed. But fortunately, we've got a great staff of people, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And there'll be chat rooms and all that kind of stuff. So, but that's taken up a lot of time. When that's done, the rest of our lives will go on, and the show, of course, will move on. So.
Yep.
We'll get a little bit some fresh material in here.
Yeah, we got stuff in the can. We got that interview with
Wes Dooley.
Wes Dooley from AEA. Gosh, I'm chomping at the bit to see that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm going through it, and I'm like, some of it's kind of technical, and then some of it's kind of fun. So I got to get rid of some of the technical stuff.
Oh, don't! You're going to piss some people off if you do that, Dan.
I know, but I have to understand it in order to be able to put it in
right. No, I agree. He can't help it. He is the technical guy when it comes to microphones.
Yeah. But he enjoys talking about it.
Yep.
Let's see. Studio suit, it's still there. If you want some, we got it. George, you can get it to people out in California, too. Somebody actually called me from Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. I actually referred her to you.
Yeah. And
we were looking into shipping logistics.
It's like... not easy to Hawaii, but I think we figured out a way.
Cool.
So we can send it anywhere, even to Calgary.
That's right.
Let's see. So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, EWAB Show, and subscribe on YouTube. Please subscribe on YouTube. So if you miss us one week, you can watch it anyway.
That's right.
I mean, we're always there.
And if you like an episode you saw, leave a comment or click the little thumbs up button and tell us you liked it. We appreciate it.
That's right. Now, next week... we have a very special guest next week. I mean, we bring the best people on here. I mean, we've had Tom Kenny, and we've had June Foray, and we've had J.S. Gilbert.
Some of the top talent out there.
Yeah. Next week, September 23rd, Rachel McFarlane will be here. She is a big-time voiceover person. She's also Seth MacFarlane's sister.
Yeah. She'll have some
great
stories.
Not that Seth will be on, but we will have her on, and she's fabulous in her own right. And
she's a lovely lady, and a mom.
Lovely lady. And I'm sure we'll have a wonderful conversation with her. And then on September 30th, which is the 30th day of September, we're going to do another Google Hangout. And if you want to join us for that, because those are always a lot of fun, everybody's like, what goes on there? Unless you've ever watched one or done a hangout with us, you don't have no idea how much fun it is, because it's great conversation. And our audience get to participate really and talk with us, and we get to talk to you, and that's what we really like.
That's right.
Anyway, let's see. Is Ellis as quieted down there? I think
she was hysterical. It's hysterical. Like right at the stroke.
Or historical.
Right at the stroke of 7 o'clock, she was banging on the door. Yeah. Oh, boy. I better go check on her.
Yes. Anyway, so that's going to do it for us this week. We will be back next week. Tell your friends, tell your parents, tell your kids that you're going to be busy at that time.
That's right.
But they can come watch too if they want. I'm, by the way, Dan Leonard in the East.
And by the way, I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Everybody have a great week. Audition hard. That's what your job is. And we will see you next Monday night. Take care.
Stay well and stay healthy. Take it easy.